Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Let me see. What do I got to do first? An invocation. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of your creation, especially the sun, Lord, shining through the windows right now. Thank you, Lord, for all that showed up here today, expecting just a little piece of a blessing from you. Be with us today, Lord, as we go into your word with our pastor. Use him today, Lord. May your message on his heart be that's going to be brought forth today speak to someone here today, Lord, that they can use it, Lord. Help us, Lord, today, just recognizing who you are, giving a little love back to you, Lord, so that we can love each other here today in our church. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Be with our choirs we're about to sing. In Jesus' name, amen. See, how about page 715, please? Page 715. Let's stand.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, let's see. This afternoon is our evening service at 1 o'clock after we get done fellowshipping, Lord willing. There's going to be a business meeting instead of the sermon today, so we'll have a bit of a devotional first, and then we'll go into our meeting. There's drama team meeting right after the morning service this morning. You see, the kitchen team, I think you already got that figured out. Candy Parlor, if folks should remember who she was. She had some heart issues. She's got some car issues. She's got some financial issues. If you feel like you want to give something to Candy, please do so. Put it in a designated envelope and make sure it gets put in the offering plate. Let's see. Voting ballots are going out this morning. I think they already have been. Please return them by the 16th or your vote will not count. So please return to Lonnie, Debbie, Barb, or Beth. The next women's Bible study is February the 5th and the 19th. Iron sharpens iron. They're going to meet the 5th and the 19th. Nominating committee is going to meet on the 17th at 7 o'clock. And there's a deacon meeting scheduled on the 17th also at 6. See, the music committee is going to meet today. You can have your meeting just before the meal or afterwards. Up to you guys. We're scheduling a Valentine fellowship on the 27th. It's a rough month now, let me tell you. Pastor's thought for the week, children under God's leadership are his most compelling witness. Wow. So because of the COVID thing, we're allowing you to place an offering in the back plates, trying to keep from the human-to-human contact thing here. So I'm going to pray for that now. Yes, Pastor.
Yes, people involved with music and the ones that choose our service, hymns and orders and specials need to also meet sometime today before we go.
Okay. I said the music committee, but yeah, okay, okay.
It's not really a committee, but the ones that...
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. I'll pray now. Here we go. Heavenly Father, again, you're giving us a chance, Lord, an opportunity to give just a little bit back to you, Lord. Lord, we don't deserve anything from you, but Lord, you give to us abundantly every day. And we thank you so much for it. Thank you for those, Lord, that do. I pray today, Lord, you just be with the gift and the giver we do so, and that our church would honor and glorify you, Lord, with it. Thank you for this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jason has special music today. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see a good group out again this morning. Now, week before last, we studied a little bit in Pastor John's message from Isaiah 6:8. And God said, who shall I send? And does anybody remember what Isaiah responded? He said, here I am, send me. And we're in the season of people making resolutions, as you guys will know. And probably there's a few resolutions that have been made in this room that have been reneged upon already. I know I'm very careful what I make resolutions about. But this is a season, well, every day is a season for this, but to make a resolution to draw closer to the Lord and to give ourselves to him. And that's something that is not just for the unbeliever to give themselves to him for the first time, but for all believers to do the same each and every day, to give themselves over to his will and his guidance. And this song is about that. I give myself away. And to me, it's a little bit more than just a song, but it's a prayer. Excuse me. And after the song, well, at the end of this song, I'm going to ask you to join me in singing the chorus. And I would just state that, you know, this is something that you want to be mindful of the words that you say, and, you know, you want to sing it from your heart. And you don't have to sing it out loud. You can sing it in your heart. But I would tell you that, you know, if you don't believe it and if it's not from your heart, then don't say it. And I just pray that God will work in your hearts and that you will join me in it. Amen. Excuse me one second. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. And I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. And I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Here all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I never know how much it cost to see myself upon that cross. And I never know how much it cost to see myself upon that cross. So I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Join me now. Sing to the Lord from your hearts. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Use me, Lord.
Kim's right there. Kim's got a bunch of kids you're going to bring up here today? Bob's going to bring them up. Oh, I got that confused. That's my fault. Okay. Thank you, girls. That was good. Doug has a bit of scripture reading today. Thank you, Doug.
Well, we have a nice variety this morning. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And this is one of the most famous of Jesus' miracles, the feeding of the 5,000. Verses 1 through 13, and John chapter 6, 1 through 13. Here we go. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of Jews was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denaries worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were, those that were sitting with him, and likewise of the fishes, much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be left, nor nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and fitted 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were remained over and above that which they had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Wow. And of course you heard many preachers say that there was more than 5,000, because if there was women and children there, could have been 15,000 or more. So amazing what Jesus did. But he not only met their physical need, he was meeting their spiritual need at the same time.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Doug. Well, good morning, everyone. I just want to take a moment here to welcome you this morning. We're so glad to see a nice group out today. I trust that you today are in the mode of honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and expressing the joy that you have in the heart, your heart, due to the salvation that he's given us so freely. And I trust today that you'll be able to cast your cares on him for a few minutes and let him speak to your heart. You know, truly, we have nothing to worry about if we're believers here today. Because let me just say, what God has planned for us is way far over and above anything we'll find here on this earth. So be of good cheer, enjoy what the Lord has for you this day, and listen to his word today as well. Also, just so you're aware of this, there is a potluck today. I realize the COVID situation. I don't blame anyone for not staying. It is a personal choice, but it is offered. But something that is very important I want to say here at this time is that we do have a business meeting this afternoon to deal with some critical issues that involve a tune-up for Fruitland Baptist Church. So if you're a member, I really, and everyone is welcome, you don't have to be, but to participate in the voting, if there would be any, you do need to be. But I want to encourage you to come at 1 o'clock. If you can't stay for the lunch or choose not to, please come back that we can transact some of the things that have that revolve around the ministry and the work here at Fruitland Baptist Church. So I just wanted to take time to let you know that today. I'm glad to see each and every one of you. I will be at the door today and greet you and shake your hand. Today is Youth Sunday. Have you figured that out yet? We have an emphasis here, in case you didn't know that, every other final Sunday of the month where we emphasize youth. And I don't know, as I look out over the folks that are here today, I think youth is anyone 95 and under. But specifically, we're going to focus on young people today. But I hope you're young at heart and you're excited as a child of God, one who has trusted Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and been brought into his family. But today we have a very special privilege. One of our youth is going to do some speaking, and that's Jaden Salas. And I know he's been preparing here for a few weeks. I asked him, and we approved that as a congregation. But I'm excited for anyone that delivers God's word. So we're going to yield the pulpit for a short time here this morning to Jason Salas. So let's lift him up in prayer this morning, folks. Amen. Come share, Jason. Or Jaden, excuse me. And just so you know, it is spelled J-A-D-O-N, correct?
Yes.
Okay, because
how do I spell it sometimes?
J-A-D-O-N. Why?
I'm sorry. The Lord bless Jake. It's great to hear from you today.
All right.
All right. So first of all, I want to thank the Lord God for giving me the words for this message. And thank you to Pastor John for allowing me this opportunity to do this. And to the congregation of this church for giving me the privilege to do this.
Amen.
Now, as I look down here, seems very fitting for this setup. Seems very fitting for the message. So, this message is about New Year's resolutions. So, for many people, the New Year is a time for making resolutions and for trying to improve themselves. There are many changes we can make and things that we can improve upon, but there is no better resolution for those who haven't decided yet than to accept Jesus Christ, or for those who have already accepted to walk closer to Him. Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior is not something to be taken lightly, but is also not something that is too difficult to do. However, you can't just say, "I believe," but not really accept Him in your heart and expect to be saved. It has to be genuine. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, let's go there now, Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
God sent his only son, Jesus, to die in our place because of his love for us. And as you can see, that's why the heart is a perfect setup for this message. So that he could save us from the penalty of our sins to give us everlasting life. And as a background scripture, let's go to John 3:16. John 3:16. This should be a very recognizable verse, so let's all read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus rose again on the third day to show us that he had power over death, and promised that we also would rise again, like him, and live an everlasting life with him if we accept his gift of salvation. So, have you accepted Jesus into your heart today? Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16:24-26. Let's go there now. Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Picking up your cross to follow Jesus means trying to live life for the Lord and not just for yourself. But God has not left us to do it by ourselves, because he has given all who accept Jesus his Holy Spirit to show us the way. He has greatly blessed all who believe by pouring out his Holy Spirit upon us by dwelling in our hearts. Let's flip to Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. Now may I ask you to keep in mind that the first part doesn't really fit into the message, but the second half does. But we'll just read the whole verse. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He is our comforter and guide. We just need to listen and follow. Amen. Being a Christian isn't always easy, and it doesn't mean we won't have problems. But it does mean that we have hope and forgiveness and the Lord's help every day. So have you decided to pick up your cross and follow him? Sorry. Jesus said in Matthew 11:30, Matthew 11:30 says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And, which this part is mainly for the people in this church, I hope, for those who already belong to Jesus, we should all be resolved to follow him closer this year, no matter where we are in our walk with him. All of us have struggles, things we could improve upon, and things that keep us separated from God. And I admit, I do too. We all need to look at our own lives and ask the Lord for guidance to help us overcome our sins and become more like him. We have to be honest with ourselves and trust in him. We also need to be willing to change and allow God to use us and mold us. So this year, make it a priority to either accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or give yourself more fully to him. Amen. I want to thank my parents, Jason and Sandra Salas, for leading my brother, Isaac, and I to Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior. Also, a special thanks to my dad for helping me write and prepare this message. May the Lord our God bless and protect you.
Amen. Man. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Jaden. We really appreciate that. And that is really a fine privilege. And you did a very fine job delivering the message of salvation and what God's will is for us. Thank you, preacher. Yeah. Now, Jaden, you're in sixth grade. Is that right?
Yes.
Yep. Out of the mouths of babes, folks. Thank you, Jaden. You'll never regret delivering God's word. May it have an impact on our lives. Well, today is our children's, and I thank everyone that participated this morning. Psalm 1, how many of us could quote that today? We had a good challenge, though, didn't we, from the young ladies that were up here this morning to recite scripture and commit it to memory. But this morning, we can have some of the young folks not come right up around here, but if you want to move up or if you don't, that's fine too. Even if you're not real young, if you want to come forward and hear some more things and be more intimately involved. But the text that we're going to be looking at this morning briefly in our children's message has already been read by Doug, and it's that miracle. It's one of seven miracles that Jesus did in his time here on earth that dealt with creation. And we oftentimes just think that creation is the first part of Genesis where that account is given. But no, God is the creator, and Jesus as God showed himself to be the creator several times and confirmed again who he was. But today, I'd like to ask us a question before we start. But before we go any further, let's ask the Lord to bless our time, shall we? Father, may you simply just bless our time today, cause us to think about this message today that you've given us in your word, a historical account of your miracles and your might. And Lord, we know that you are still the God of all possibilities today. Nothing shall be impossible with you. So Lord, bring that to our attention today. Help us to trust you, to seek your face. And we thank you, Lord, for children. Every one of us here was a child, and we still should be, Lord. We need to have the childlike faith and the sincereness, just like we heard from Jaden today as he brought forth your word. What a great thing that is, the power and impact of children, both young and old. So I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question today. What do you have with you today? Have you ever wondered what ladies carry in their purses? Or some men carry them too today. It's called a merce, a man purse, right? Man, and I don't have my wallet with me. I don't carry it because Kim says I shouldn't, and it's a bulge in my pocket. Not because it's loaded with money, but what do I have in my wallet? I've told people many times I still carry a farmer's wallet, full of bills, but not much money. Some of you have seen my wallet, but what do you carry with you today? What do you have? Well, I carry these all the time. Some of you others that are diabetic in here know what those are. That's when you start to see purple and feel like you're going to fall over. You know what? You should have taken this about 15 minutes earlier. They're sugar tablets. What else do you have on you today? Keys.
Bible.
Yeah, Bibles. I always carry a pen. Kim has told me I ought to wear shirts with no pockets. That doesn't work for me. I always carry tracks, 3x5s. But let me ask you, what do you have with you today? You don't have to, well, you can share. Some of you, yeah, I don't bring my phone into services. And just so you know that, if you ever try to get a hold of me during service times, I don't carry it on my person. But I'll look at it later. But all of us have something. But let me ask you this today. What are you carrying today that God can use? I will say this. Many of us carry something, but a lot of times it's not of that great of importance. Do you agree with that today? But yet, if it's something that can be used of God, we need to carry it with us. So some of you have said some good things. Bible, tracts, pen, pencil. You could go all the way down the line. If it can be used for God's glory, we ought to be prepared to be there and use it. Anyway, here's the thing that we want to remember this morning, and then we're going to have a little illustration here today if you want to participate. Okay? But children, and this is found in this text that Doug read, children are important to God and to his program. Children are important to God and to his program. Amen. By the way, did you enjoy seeing someone different at that pulpit?
Yes.
Was it refreshing?
Yes.
Do you have some time next Sunday?
Yes.
Maybe it ought to inspire some of the rest of us. You know, that's what the church is for. It isn't here for me always to crank out a message, but this is where we all learn how to preach God's truth, not necessarily from the pulpit, but just delivering it one-on-one. But children are important to God and his program. You know, there's an old saying, children should be seen and not
heard.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think children have a big impact for the Lord. There are some people that do not like children, but most people like to see children. They come to us as something that's a regeneration, that's new, that's fresh, innocent, sincere. You know, I haven't run into too many kids that don't tell it like it is. Kim will tell you this, being in education. I'll tell you this, being in Sunday school, in that form of education, or with youth group over the years. If you want to know what's going on somewhere, all you need to do is listen to kids. Because you're going to hear a lot. And there's a lot of things I don't repeat. But you know what? They need to be important in his program today. That's why I like these type of Sundays. I really do. I appreciate what this young man had to deliver to us today. And God has worked a lot over his time through youth and children in the scriptures. Don't forget, Jesus came as a child, as a baby. What about a guy named Samuel? Jason sang a good song this morning about Isaiah, but the similar thing happened with Samuel. Remember old Eli? Eli was old, worn out, not really walking with God. God speaking to Samuel. Eli says, "Go to bed, kid, and shut up." No, I'm paraphrasing, but eventually he got the, oh, maybe God's going to work through Samuel. And of course, Samuel says what? Same thing like Isaiah. "Here am I. Send me." Have you thought about people like Timothy that the Apostle Paul had an opportunity to work with that trusted Christ at a young age? And he, again, had a big impact in the New Testament early church. What about a guy named David? Only a boy named David. Yeah, going up against Goliath and his friends. And what about a guy named Joseph? Remember, he had a little trouble with his older brothers. They threw him in a pit and eventually sold him into a caravan to go into Egypt as a youth. A youth. You know, in German, you don't pronounce the H. It's only the T. Most of you probably knew that already. What happened with Joseph? God worked mightily through him. A child. A child. Oh, who else? What about the slave girl in Naaman's healing? And I encourage you to investigate the scriptures, but folks, I tell you the truth here, that God works and touches people through children. Amen. Yeah, that's true, Matt. There are many examples. Okay, I just gave you a few. So we know that God works through children. He changes hearts through children. Children have a persuasion in the proper mode with people. And Jaden, the recitation this morning from the Harris girls, those touch our hearts, don't they? And maybe in many ways we say, what a shame that I don't even do that. Or that I'm so afraid to take a stand for the Lord and do that. But here's the thing, if those things have crossed your mind, we as adults will be much more effective if we have an innocent faith like children. Because Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is made of such. Jesus always welcomed the children, and he was interested in the impact that children had and the importance that he saw in them. Well, this morning, three principles from this text out of John chapter 6. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Doug, I disagree with you this morning. We could start a church split over this. I think that probably the figures were closer to 25 to 30,000 people. Doug said 15, but we'll get along on that, brother. It could have been. Right. Because what the scriptures tell us, and there is an account of this in all four of the gospels, it says there were about 5,000 men. And so it's likely there could have been wives and children, of course. Absolutely. So what we find, and it's only recorded in the Gospel of John, is that there was a child involved with this. He was called a lad. What is a lad? These young men right over here, little girls here, back there, they're lads. They're not fully at adulthood yet, but they're also not tiny children. They're in an intermediate stage in their life. But there's three key things here that we want to look at today that will help us all as children to have an impact. Now, before we go any further, and there's quite a bit that goes along with this, I know we have COVID. If you don't want to participate in this, it's fine. But today, Kim and I have prepared a little reminder. And I'd like to have our youth come up and go down the aisle, and you can pass out these reminders. They have been, I wore gloves when I put them together. They have cellophane over them. Could I get a couple more young volunteers? Well, Jane, let's let the little ones go first. But yeah, if you want to, come on ahead. Okay, what we have here is a little bit of symbolism to pass out this morning. No, this is not communion, per se. But if you would like one of these today, what you'll find in there is symbolism for what? Whoops, excuse me, Ellie. Well, you want to tell us, Ellie, what's in there?
Crackers, and it looks like goldfish.
You're exactly right. Because this account that Jesus gave of the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 revolved around five little loaves of bread and two fishes. So you have five soda crackers and two goldfish. They're actually gold whales because the goldfish were $3 more. So you can go ahead and this will get you started for lunch. But a little reminder here of what we find. Go ahead and distribute those to folks if they'd like one. No one has to take it. You don't put yourself at risk. But there's a reminder there of the account that we're looking at today. Well, you know how this went. The day began to grow long. Jesus was doing what there at that site? He was healing people. And he was showing again who he was. He was the Savior of the world, the Son of God. Jaden, thank you for those verses you gave us this morning that talked about those things. And by the way, be it known this morning, there's no rigmarole to come to Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10 say that we'll be saved. We'll be delivered by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the simple message of the gospel. There's no religion. There's no rigmarole. It's getting down and saying, Jesus, I know who I am. I'm a sinner. Jesus, I believe what you did for me on Calvary's cross, that God sent you out of love to die for my sins and rise again. And I'm going to put my faith and trust in you for the forgiveness and the expunging of my sins, covering them with your blood. And I want to be a part of your family. And that's how we're saved, folks. We're born again. We have new life. But the neat thing about this is that this young man had something with him that day, and he was following Jesus. He was on the scene. Now, again, I asked us all what we had. I heard a few responses of what we had. But what do we acknowledge here about this young man? Why do you suppose he had 5 little barley loaves and 2 fishes with him? Who said lunch? Okay, Kim? That's right. He was thinking ahead. Now, how is it that 5,000 people, men, but maybe up to 25 or 30,000 people, forgot to bring lunch that day? I'm going to tell you what I think. I think it's because a lot of us, we're asleep at the wheel. We're not even considering the things that we have and the resources that we have that we ought to carry those along for Jesus' sake. Right? But this young man did. And of course, the disciples, were they faithful folks at that time? It was Philip, wasn't it, that said, Lord, if we had $200, by the way, bread is still the staff of life. You want to survive, the cheapest way you can survive is to buy a loaf of bread. Now, I don't know, I don't do the groceries too often, but I still think you can get a loaf of bread for under $1. Is that true? Well, sure, it's not going to be, you know, the very top of the line, but bread, right? Sure. And Philip says, hey, Jesus, the day's getting late. You couldn't buy enough bread to feed this crowd with, we'll use the example of $200 or, you know, but you can buy a lot of bread for that. But he says what? It's still what? It's not enough. Not enough there to do it. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, this is verse 9, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? See, the problem is people weren't thinking about Jesus as who he was, as God. That with Jesus, everything is possible. What it's called, folks, is a lack of faith. Folks, I believe today that the possessions we have, if we have not offered them to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a lack of faith. And are you thinking ahead about how Jesus might use you and your possessions to work a miracle? Jesus says to him, make the men sit down. You heard that from Doug. They sat in the grass by companies, the Bible says, by groups, probably groups of 20 or 25. Why do you suppose Jesus, and let me tell you, Jesus always gives his best. You're saying, well, they didn't have folding chairs. They didn't have fancy places to sit. Jesus gave them the couch that was his sod. Grass, comfortable place to sit. Why do you suppose Jesus had them sit down by ranks or by companies? He did that so that there could be a count made. Because that's how you quickly count the number of people that were there. He couldn't go one, two, but they were in ranks and in order because Jesus is going to what? He's going to confirm that this is a miracle. Some might say, oh, it was just a few people. You know, a lot of people reject this yet. So that couldn't have happened. It goes beyond human reason. Let me tell you, God works outside of human reason. He's worked in my life. He's maybe worked in many of yours, and he can work in everyone's, and he'll do miracles. It's a miracle we're saved, folks, if you're saved here today. Because we didn't deserve it. It's a miracle. Well, Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed, by the way, the young man was willing, and that's your first point. The young man was following Jesus, and he was there. He was there! Sometimes you don't have to come to do anything, but just be what? Be there, ready, available, and willing. He was that. Very simple. Most of us can very easily do that, right? Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing would be lost. Now, some of us might have said this morning, what do I have on me that's of great treasure today to offer to Jesus? Well, we know his word. We could list several things that are of value. You might have a diamond or gold today. That's all things that could be used for the Lord. But in the sense, will God work a miracle with what we have on our persons today? Don't doubt that he could, if you're willing and available. Here's the second point. Even though, let's face it, five little barley loaves and two fishes didn't amount to what? You know, the rule of the Bible is that one day's living costs you one day's wages. This was about a third of a day's wages, in other words. In the tribulation period, that's what it'll be. You'll work a whole day for your food. And that's a biblical standard that's given out. But what he really had there wasn't all that much in the grand scheme of things, was it, on his own? No, and when people saw it for what it was, they said, well, that's only his lunch. We've got 25 or 30 or 15,000 other people that need to eat, and there's not enough. But here's the second point, and never doubt this, as a child and as the lad in this situation showed, he possessed great treasure in the hands of Jesus. What we think may be little or nothing is great treasure when it's placed into the hands of Jesus. You know, God knows mathematics. I listed that to you here last week. But he knows multiplication very well. He's a multiplier of what we offer. So he possessed great treasure in the hands of Jesus. And secondly, he was willing to let him use it. See, now today, what would you give for Jesus? I don't know what that might be in your life, but you might have something on you today that you're saying, no, I can't give that to Jesus today. That's mine. I need it. I don't know what I'd do without it. But this young man, this lad, gave what he had to Jesus for Jesus' use. It was likely his lunch. You know what? I think that kid was on the ball. I think a lot of times kids receive and know a lot more than us adults give them credit for, and many times more than we do ourselves. How likely do you think that would have been for another adult in that scenario to give up their food? Like I said, it was likely his lunch. And never forget that kids are sharper than we give them credit for. 25, 30, 15, whatever number, adults brought no food. And probably, if it's like a lot of times, they were complaining because Jesus took too long and they were still there at supper. I don't think that was the case, but let's face it, that's how people are. We are not Christocentric in our lives, but we're me-centric. Well, it says when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. By the way, think about some numbers here this morning. I'm going to illustrate in a minute. How many baskets were left over? Let's do a little mathematics here. 2 plus 7 or 2 plus 5 equals 2 fish, 5 loaves in the hand of the Lord Jesus. God's number is what? Number 7, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. I mentioned earlier that this was the fourth of 7 miracles that Jesus performed that confirmed his creative attributes. 7 is God's number, but what about 12? What significance does that have? 12 disciples. You think there was a lesson here for these disciples?